This week on Hyperspace Broadcasts, Chibity Crockett's tragic backstory is revealed. It involves clowns. Hey everyone, welcome to Hyperspace Broadcasts, a show where two real friends dig through Toonami's back catalog and try to determine what, if anything, is worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And this week, we're taking on part three of our G Gundam Watch, specifically episodes 25 through 39. And like I said last time, G Gundam continues to deliver with some truly crazy episodes, but we'll get to that. Before that, we have our synopsis of this block. So, where we left off, Domin had just arrived at Neo Hong Kong, where the final rounds of the Gundam fight will be taking place. Now, if I remember correctly, there are like 3 days left of the fight itself, which means that about half of this series takes place over the course of 11 months, and then the other half over the course of like a half week, seemingly, which is kind of weird. Also, I don't know, maybe it was 3 days until the final round started, because it seems like more than 3 days pass in the like these episodes. I feel like there's at least night a couple of times.
It seems like they came up with that number after the fact of how many months have passed and how much time we have left. They're just like, yeah, I don't know, like 11 months? how long would it take to fight all these dudes and fly around the Earth?
Right, so we're introduced to Prime Minister of Neo Hong Kong, a man named Wong Yun-Fat, who announces that there will be even more changes to the normal rules. And
shockingly, not everyone's going to repeat them ad nauseum.
Yeah, that's true. They never refer to them again. But basically, infinite repairs are available, and you can target the opponent's cockpit as a means for victory. And the winner of the Battle Royale, which is the thing that actually determines who wins, will be named Gundam of Gundams, which is the best title of all time.
I like that that's a rule.
Yeah, right.
The third rule. The winner's going to be given this cool title.
Yeah, right. This totally not silly title.
Also, the second title, the second rule, yeah, murder's fine. Like, they just admit it at this point. Like,
you know, yeah, right. Fuck it. Whatever.
We overlook kidnapping and all that. Like, yeah, you know what? Fine. Just kill each other.
Yeah, and what's kind of weird about this, and I'll probably talk about this a bit more later, but like, I do not understand at all how this tournament works, because basically you have matches, but they're not single elimination at all, and so they just have match after match after match, day after day, and Gundams are beating the shit out of each other, but it doesn't seem like those matches don't seem to actually affect anything, because yeah, it's all based on who wins the Battle Royale. So like,
apparently it affects like who gets into the Battle Royale,
maybe, or
it's hinted at that, but
yeah, or just that it weakens Gundams because they need to keep being repaired, so like teams that don't have as good, you know, technicians will fall behind or something. I don't know, but you know, to be fair, it's not worth trying to figure out. This is G Gundam.
Yeah. Like, but it's ridiculous too, because like, clearly it is elimination at first, and then Wong just changes the rules and then changes the rules again, and it's like okay. Like, yeah. No, these guys are allowed back in because sure, we have to have a little revenge arc with Michelob Chariot.
Yeah, right. So there are two fighters that we've previously seen defeated by Domon, I think, in both cases. Those are Michelob Chariot, the Neo Italy fighter, who is the guy who's the villain of the very first episode. You might remember when Domon was interrogated by having his face shoved in a pizza.
Yeah, that's right. I believe his silver kicks will have to face Domon's
shining finger or something like that. So that was the guy who could kick lasers out of his feet. And then
now he kicks rainbow lasers out of his feet. It's a new move.
Yeah.
And then there's General Chapman, who is back and apparently was dead. I don't actually seem to recall him dying.
Right, and I don't think we even talked about General Chapman. Basically, he was like a Neo UK fighter who, or Neo England.
Neo England. Yeah,
yeah. I always screw up what the technical name of the country is, but the Neo England fighter who was like taking stimulants because he's really old and he still has to fight, and his wife was like helping him cheat kind of by deploying like mobile suits to help him out and this like fog so that he could sneak around and stuff. It was kind of weird. Apparently he died because they're all surprised that he's still alive. I don't really remember that, but it has been a while since we watched that episode, so you know, whatever.
It could have been the dub also softening the blow of like what was a death scene.
Yeah,
and
right.
And then it comes to this episode, and I guess for some reason the dub is so inconsistent that it's like, sure, oh shit,
I guess
actually he was dead.
And also Master Asia is still alive, despite the fact that last time we saw him, he was being blown up by Doman boosting into the sky on top of him. So, yeah, we have the opening ceremonies, and everyone's there, and Wong is scheming to move the Dark Gundam into Neo Hong Kong to give it a place to self-repair, because he is currently the ruler of all of space, given that Master Asia, his Gundam fighter, won the last Gundam fight, and he wants to keep it that way. And I guess the way to do this is to use Dark Gundam. I guess Master Asia is getting kind of old.
Yeah, and Wong is like clearly evil from the go. And he's like changing all the rules to fuck things up for Domon too, because he's working with Master Asia and like has this weird desire to be like, oh, you want to see Domon fight, but also he wants to beat Domon.
Yeah,
so
they want to, I think they want to like control the strongest fighter, and they think Domon is the strongest, so they're following him specifically. Wong has this really big like essentially chessboard where he just moves Gundam model kits around to figure out what the matches are.
Poorly painted Gundam models that are life size.
It is very bizarre that they are like, all of them, the head is a slightly different shade of whatever color the rest of the thing is. Like, I don't know why, it just looks really bizarre, but that's a pretty minor detail.
It's like someone assembled a model kit like from the 70s, like before they came like pre-colored plastic.
Yeah, I guess. So there are several rounds of qualifying matches. We get to see various Gundams fight each other. Most of them look very goofy. And we're introduced to a new major character this far into the series. This is Alan B. Beardsley, a like spirited girl who pilots Neo Sweden's Noble Gundam in the dub, technically Nobel Gundam in the original. And this thing is just a Sailor Moon Gundam. It is
absolutely
100% that it, I don't know. The design is
deliberate
great.
Parody. And but also it can go berserk. It can lose its mind and like go like Super Saiyan evil.
Yeah, right. Like Allenby was an orphan and she was found by the scientists of Neo Sweden, and they decided like, oh, we'll build this system that can tap into this girl's inner rage, I guess, and just turn her into a monster who, you know, fights without honor or humanity. Or as Doman says at one point, her soul, like what, her punches have no soul in them or something.
These
like
cool
that
fists have no soul.
Right. Yeah. So Alan B and Domon fight each other. They quickly become good friends, and so they're constantly hanging out, and Rain is visibly irritated by this. And so Wong is manipulating the fight matchups, and eventually Domon has to fight all of the other members of the Shuffle Alliance all in a row, and all of them decide, we're not gonna help you find the Dark Gundam. So the way to resolve this, Schwartz Bruder comes in and he's like, you basically, martial artists can only communicate with their fists, so to convince them to help you, you have to beat them in these fights. So
get ready to hear that over and over again, by the way.
Yeah, good lord, this that reiterated.
It's like the only way you convince someone is by beating the shit out of them.
Yeah, apparently. So, of course, Domon beats everybody, and more or less everyone decides to join him, although all of them also demonstrate that they have a super mode, which is cool, I guess. The final one of these matchups is probably the most notable, in that Wong again decides, oh, well, this is going to be a tag team match. It's going to be Domon and Allenby versus Argo and Neo Canada's Grizzly Gundam. And in the middle of this fight, Wong reveals that he has his own Berserker system, triggers it to turn Allenby into a rage monster, and then she is like badly injured by this system. A couple of medics come to recover her, and they end up kidnapping her.
Yeah, and then we get this like whole episode of Domon going to Master Asia's, going to meet with Master Asia, led there by his horse, who is extremely intelligent and can apparently
evidently
pilot motorboats.
Yeah, there's this great scene where, well, Domon's just kind of wandering around, I guess, looking for Allenby, but Foon Psyche, which is Master Asia's horse, comes up to him and basically, you know, bids him to mount Foon Psyche. So he rides off, they come to a boat, and then they both get in it, and then the boat just kind of drives itself, I guess,
yeah,
to wherever it's supposed to go. And this is weird enough on its own, but the thing that really makes it great is that after Domon gets off the boat, he's standing at the shore, and then the boat just starts driving away with the horse on it.
Yeah, the horse just completely chill, fading
into
the distance.
And no one else. So either awesome. The boat is self-piloting, or the horse could pilot a boat. I'm not sure. Either way, it's great. And yeah, Domon meets up with Master Asia. Master Asia basically says, "You're not strong enough to beat Schwartz Bruder in your next match." And they fight a Gundam snake head. And then they're forced to kind of work together to escape. And Master Asia teaches Domon the ultimate technique, which is like maybe the fourth thing that I have written in my notes as the ultimate technique. In this case, it is the Sekiha Tenkyoken, which is a giant hand. Like, I don't really know how
it's basically
else to
just
describe
punch
it.
And a giant spectral hand comes out and punches for you, which is basically Chibbity Crockett's move.
Kinda, but his hands are not as giant, I don't think.
Yeah, his hands are not telling him to grasp victory like Domon's.
Exactly. And this is also the episode with one of the best individual clips from this show, where Domon and Master Asia combine their powers to kick a skyscraper out of the ground into the air in order to escape from like this subway passage or whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Some real Fist of the North Star shit.
Yeah, crazier, actually
that skyscraper fell on Kenshiro's head. It went from G Gundam into the Fist of the North Star OVA.
They kicked it so hard that it flew into the Fist of the North Star movie and landed on Kenshiro's head. And then he just kept walking as though nothing had happened.
He too is badass.
Because he's so strong. And so, you know, Master Asia and Domon part ways. Master Asia has had a nasty cough for the majority of this block, so who knows what that means. And Rain decides to quit the Neo Japan team, basically because Domon yelled at her a lot, because it's kind of Rain's fault that Allenby got kidnapped. But
it's great. Rain is going to treat Allenby, and these paramedics come in and take her away. She's like, okay. And then Domon freaks out of her, like, how did you not know those paramedics were kidnappers? Like, what is
kinda,
the basis for his argument?
There is one point in this this final episode where it's basically Rain, and then you have Domon in voiceover, and he like rips her a new one three times in a row, just like three separate lines of like, I can't believe you lost her, what were you thinking, and you know, something akin to that. And finally, you didn't think to check the paramedics' IDs? Like, no, I didn't, Domon. Yeah. Come on,
you didn't think an emergency scenario to prevent your friend from getting medical care they needed?
Yeah, so
no, I didn't.
Yeah, so Rain has quit. Who knows where that's going to lead? Although, having watched the preview for the next episode, we do know that she's in a Schwartz getup next episode for some reason.
God, you're
so
right. Yeah,
I'm excited because that's
going to
be crazy.
On. Yeah, with her bangs sticking out.
Yeah, and the trench hilarious. Coat and everything. It's going to be great, I assume. So let's move on to our favorite and least favorite episodes, or our zeniths and nadirs. Peter, why don't you start with this?
Sure. My zenith is episode 29, Running Away, Saisaishi in Love. This episode kind of accomplished what I thought was impossible, which was basically taking the nadir of the Shuffle Alliance, which is Saisaishi, the whiny, annoying kid, and making him enjoyable for an episode. This is basically like Sai goes out for a stroll in the town after watching this like Gundam fight and seeing like, oh, there's Mermaid Gundam, that's his next opponent, and Mermaid Gundam is a fucking fish Gundam,
yeah,
with arms and legs, and it looks really stupid and has a beam net.
Yeah, it's like, imagine a fish, but out of the mouth of the fish there's like a Gundam head, and then there are arms and legs just kind of randomly sprouting out the sides.
It's like if you had a Gundam that was a fish mascot for like a brand, or like for a football team, like a really weird football team, like the San Diego Salmons.
Sure, yeah, why not?
But also, it's a Gundam.
Yeah, there's a lot going into that analogy, but to be honest, you're right. Like, that is what it looks like. It looks like a Gundam in a fish mascot costume. It's really bizarre.
We also see the Tauros Gundam in there getting its ass beat, which also looks like a fucking mascot. If, like, a mascot costume was just the head of a
sort of
bull.
Yeah, yeah. Tauro Gundam is one of the stupider looking Gundams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like the foot demon, or like the shoe demon.
Yeah,
from
right,
Sailor
right.
Mass.
Except it's
like,
it's a bull's head. We've talked about this before, actually.
He also has a red beam cape, by the way. It's something I figured I need to add. It's just a nice little detail.
Yeah, in order to, I guess, convince his opponents who are not bulls to run at him.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
A matador. Or maybe it's so that he like angers himself and he charges around the arena, guiding himself by his beam cape.
Well, we know that when it gets destroyed, it makes like a cow noise. So I don't know if he's got a cow in there with him. If you seem to recall, there was like one of those like cow in pain noises it makes when it gets hit.
I do not remember that, but that's my headcanon now. Like, it's that's there. What happens.
I like to think that there's an actual bull in the Gundam with the guy.
Yeah, right. That would not be unprecedented, but...
In any case, yeah. I'm dancing around this episode so much, and I'm only going to do it a little more, because the episode itself is decent. It's fine. But I like what they did with... I like seeing Saisaishi, like, trying to be cool, because he's, like, in love now. He goes out in, like, this crazy getup, which is basically, like, Charlie Brown button-up shirt, but it's green and yellow striped with, like, a pink undershirt. He's got war turtle glasses, like the kind of spiky sunglasses, and he's wearing, like, khaki short shorts.
Yeah,
like,
and
this is this kid's outfit.
And also, this button-up shirt is unbuttoned, like, you know.
Yeah.
So it's super cool.
And it has an S on the front pocket.
Yeah, sir.
So you know it's
Saisaishi. Yeah.
You know me, I always wear clothes that say P on them.
You should.
I really should. It's just so people remember my initial. Now, I thought Sai was fairly charming. And there's a genuinely funny bit later in this episode where these punks in like these cargo mobile suits, like these working industrial mobile suits, they get pissed off, try to attack Sai and his girl. And Domon jumps in and gets his burning Gundam and faces these guys 3-on-1. And they decide to do the jet stream attack, which is a direct reference to...
Yeah, to the Black TriStars.
Yeah, the Doms from Mobile Suit Gundam. They start spinning around Domon, and Domon's like, all right, now I'm going to do my technique. And he just sticks his foot in there and trips all three of them at once. And they all fall into the ocean, and Burning Gundam hilariously is just like clapping its hands together, like like it's clapping the dust off his hands after
throwing away a
garbage can.
Yeah, right.
It's fucking great.
This episode one of my notes here, I don't remember it, but there is a talking caterpillar at one point.
Yes, there is.
There is a caterpillar that has one line, and I don't remember what it was, but
it's just like,
it fucking happened.
Yeah. Because these punks were, like, trying to sneak a caterpillar into the food. We've seen this before in, like, Gatekeepers, I think it was. It's a classic punk thing to do where you try and get free food by yelling at people that
by pretending there's a bug in it. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And you know, the plot of this episode's kind of cute, and you know, the fight in the end is all right. Like it's a good battle, like underwater and stuff, but really I think the highlight is like the comedic aspects of this episode.
Yeah. And of course the girl that Sai she finds and like I guess falls in love with is the little sister of the guy who pilots the Mermaid Gundam.
Yeah,
and then of course Sai she has to fight Mermaid Gundam next. So there's that whole dilemma.
What was your favorite episode? And I know what your favorite episode
was. Mine was episode 31, Dazzling Power of the Clown, Get Mad, Gundam Maxter. So there are a couple levels of craziness to this episode. The first is that we're introduced to Chibity Crockett's tragic backstory. So back in the day when Chibity was a kid, people were trying to buy tickets to get on shuttles to get off Earth to go to the colony. And he was at a carnival and a gang of clowns with fucking assault rifles held up the crowd at the carnival in order to, I guess, steal money to buy tickets to get to the colony.
Yeah, or like just threaten them to score their own ship up to the colony. And
yeah, they take Chibity hostage, and then his mom is dragged away by the crowd. So Chibity is terrified of clowns, which, you know, I don't know if they needed that kind of backstory to justify him being creeped out by clowns. But
yeah, a lot of
whatever.
People are scared of clowns.
I mean, I doubt every person who's scared of clowns is because they were once abducted by a clown holding a gun to their head.
The clown that like started killing all the people there and shit. It was crazy. It's like, yep, yeah, sure, great.
So that's insane. The opponent in this episode is the Jester Gundam, which is, of course, piloted by a clown. So, and, you know, its gimmick is like, oh, it can imitate your moves and basically mirror you.
It mimics everyone perfectly.
There's a great little scene where they all go to a circus and the clown is imitating Domon, who's sitting in the front row. And Domon is like, yeah, that's pretty funny. And then it keeps happening, and he just goes from like, oh, that's impressive, to why the hell are you imitating me? With
zero to 60. It's just like, because Domon's been like fairly chill in kind of a charming and funny way.
Yeah, right. Like, he's very chill this block, which is hilarious.
Serenity, you know? And then like, he's just like, imitates Domon for like 3 seconds, and he's like, all right, clown, what are you doing? Like, he starts flipping out.
Yeah, and then goes and tries to fight him, and of course the clown mirrors his moves, blah, blah, blah. So, that's all crazy. But the real, like, the thing that makes this episode perfect for me is that Chibity, afraid of this clown and feeling sorry for himself, meets Rain, and he asks her to sing a song that his mom used to sing to him to, like, calm him down, which is... like, whatever, fine. That's a thing in movies, sure. I guess. That song is America the Beautiful.
Yeah.
And she sings it.
Yeah.
In its entirety. And then,
it's so
later
good.
In the episode, while Chibity is fighting the clown, his, like, pit crew of four women sing it for him in order to inspire him to beat this clown. And... it is the cheesiest damn thing ever, and it's amazing. Like,
oh my god.
It is superb.
It's like perfect patriotic cheese, too. Like,
something
you'd it seems like something you'd see in like a super America kind of movie.
Yeah, like an 80s movie. Like,
yeah.
even beyond that, though, like, it's so cheesy. I do kind of
really next level.
I do kind of wish that it was the Star Spangled Banner. I think that would be a little bit funnier, but whatever. Like, this episode to me is quintessential G Gundam. It is so goofy on so many levels, and it's awesome. What was your least favorite episode?
Oh man, I'm still recovering just even remembering America the Beautiful. Such an inspiring and very long-winded moment, but I loved it. Oh god.
I mean, it is sung in its entirety twice in that episode, which is fucking bonkers to me.
Yeah. My least favorite episode was episode 36, A Knight's Pride, Gundam Rose Stolen. In this episode, George meets with Domon and he's like shows him his new technique. This is in like the arc where they're all going to refight him and they kind of refuse to help him battle the Dark Gundam
until they
actually fight him. Yeah. But the whole like drama of this episode is that the Neo France like ministry, like this king, orders him not to fight him because like they can afford, apparently with their sterling record, they can afford to take a loss here and they don't want to like have to use the funds to repair him again if he gets damaged. And like, oh, you're already going to get in the battle royale at this rate, so you don't need to do this fight.
Yeah,
and he orders him not to fight at risk of treason, which is kind of crazy. And George is like, oh man, he's like so dramatic, wrestling with his desire to fight his rival Domo.
Yeah, with his chivalry and his honor as
loyalty.
A knight.
Yeah, yeah. It's and that drama goes on over and over again, and it's pretty annoying.
Sure.
The like just kind of wonky, dumb drama is kind of aggravating to deal with. And then they get to the fight, because of course he fights, and you know, the king shows up and he's like all pissed off. But don't worry, George will face zero consequences for his actions, as you might expect, because
yeah, right.
He's so passionate in the fight that it inspires the king to let him go free,
yeah.
Even though it fucks up his Gundam.
Yeah, or in other words, George, because you fought a valiant battle, you get to live still.
Yeah, it's exactly Yu Yu Hakusho again. Like, oh yeah, okay. You get another chance at life because you were nice to this guy.
Yeah, because you're a good guy.
The fight's kind of pathetic compared to the other refight. Like, there's a Chibity refight episode that I thought was quite dramatic and fun.
Yeah, directly like before this too. And
yeah. And the fight there was like a wrestle match almost, where it's like it starts one sided and you know, Gundam Maxer's getting his ass kicked, and then
Gundam Maxer's kicking Burning Gundam's ass for a while with this attack that has like five parts or something, so Domon can't block it without getting hit by some of them.
Punch. And then Domon just like creates this technique on the fly to make five of himself to like these imagery, you know?
Yeah, mirror image technique of Gundams. And yeah.
And it all gets like these big punches and they're all like punching each other and he breaks the shining finger fist, which is really cool. Like, oh God, I didn't think that would ever happen.
Yeah. And, right.
It's a pretty good fight. A pretty good episode. Just like cheesy drama and like a lot of rage and yelling and shonen shit. And this episode, it's like a bunch of dumb drama about loyalty and honor. And then like, a very pathetic fight in the end where George debuts his amazing new Rose Hurricane technique, which is just him ordering his rose bits to circle around Domon and like trap him in a tornado vortex.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it like seems like he's being damaged, I guess, but it doesn't seem like it's really effective at all. And Domon just breaks out and like makes fun of him, and then they fight and he kicks his ass. Like,
yeah.
I guess he goes super mode and it's kind of dramatic, but yeah.
Yeah, it's not as good as the previous fight, really.
It is a letdown after the Chibity refight.
Yeah.
What was your least favorite?
Mine was episode 38, Domon versus Argo, Charging Bolt Gundam. So this is the tag team match between Domon and Allenby and Argo and Andrew Graham, pilot of the Grizzly Gundam. So this requires a little bit of backstory, unfortunately. way back in episode 8, which we didn't really talk about in detail, we were introduced to Grizzly Gundam and Andrew Graham, and basically Graham has a grudge against Argo because when Argo was still a space pirate, he like crashed his ship into this space station that Andrew was working on with his wife, and his wife got sucked out into space, and so he blames Argo for it. Well, in that episode, it was revealed that in fact Argo was trying to save his wife. And the crash was caused by the galaxy police or whatever the fuck chasing Argo down. And I seem to remember all of this being resolved in that episode. Like, Andrew finds this out.
Hold on. Do you think Mihoshi was involved? This seems like a kind of thing that would happen. It's just like a realistic death because Miyoshi's an
like,
idiot.
Like, whoops, fuck. We chased him into a space station. Maybe we shouldn't have done that. Yeah, so anyway, I seem to remember this being resolved in that episode.
Yeah, right.
Andrew seems like he knows that this is the thing. But now, you know, what, 30 episodes later, he's back, and he still has a grudge against Argo for the same thing. And in this episode, we get to see him come to the same fucking revelation again. And it's, I don't know, like, they kind of try to justify it by saying, like, well, I don't know if that's true, and, like, this is the thing that's kept me going, so I'm going to continue to believe it, which is fine. But I don't know.
At least they acknowledged it.
Yeah,
but
I wish there had been something a little bit more to convince him rather than just flashing back to the same shot we saw last time and being like, oh, wait, Argo was crying when his wife got sucked into space, you know?
Yeah, when like he sees, again, this is another thing where it's like he sees Argo's passion in the fight and he's like, oh, there's no way he could have killed my wife. Like, that's what you needed? Like, you need to watch the guy fight good?
I mean, I guess if martial artists can only communicate with their fists, like, they're, you know, that makes sense.
And the episode's so fucking disjointed because this is the episode where Alan B gets hit with the Wong's laser, but we get this whole dumb fight against Argo. Graham's just watching and does fucking nothing. And the fight ends, and then Alan B comes in, and it's like everyone just forgot she existed, so she just, like, reappears.
They have
an excuse that, like, oh, he used a special technique to make, like, earth spikes rise all around him so he can, you know, separate the battlefield and not make it a whole royale.
Yeah, and that's cool, but it's still really weird that Alan B goes into berserker mode, and then we have about 5 minutes of just no Alan B, just her off screen, I guess, punching a big rock or something, like, until she finally bursts in at the last moment and, you know, of course, tries to kill Argo, but Andrew puts himself in front of Nobel Gundam to, like, block the punch, and then Grizzly Gundam explodes, and then, you know, Alan B's kidnapped, and Andrew Graham is, like, goes to the hospital, and as it turns out, he's fine, I guess. So cool.
Nobody dies in G Gundam.
Why fuck that shit? So, I don't know. That is another weird aspect of this episode, is just that the whole thing with Alan B just, I don't know, it's picked up and then it's put back down.
They could have done a lot of cool things with it or had, like, characters' lives at risk. Instead, they focus more on Andrew Graham.
Yeah, which is, again, a plot line that has already been resolved.
That's
the real problem.
Don't redo a plot line. It's like, so, maybe give us more, like, Alan B plot, and more about her backstory and do that, but whatever, you know.
So that's it for Zeniths and Nadirs. We're going to go to our break. When we get back, we're going to talk more about what we thought about this block, talk about the bet, and then what we're going to be watching next. G Gundam will return in a moment. Hey everyone, it's Michael, slightly congested, here to do what I always do during the break, which is tell you some information. Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Divin' by Onatek, and the music for the bumpers is Monkeys, also by Onatek. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode will release July 17th, and next week catch a minisode where we discuss Tetsujin 28, Morning Moon of Midday. As always, you can reach out to us on our social media, that's facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter at HBpod, or email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com. In case you want to throw out a suggestion for a minisode, we are totally open to other things to watch. So if you have a suggestion, reach out to us on one of those platforms.
Let's show them all. This crowd is going to see what an ultimate fight is. Here we go. Gundam fight. Ready?
Go!
And now, back to G Gundam. All right, we're back. Peter, what did you think about this block?
I enjoyed it. It was a longer block by my design. I had kind of briefly looked into episodes. I didn't want to spoil anything for myself, but, you know, you set up a block arrangement just in general, based on arcs, as we usually do, trying to
make it so that we're not just ending a block in the middle of a specific arc.
Yeah, right. And in this one, we got, like, two separate arcs where it goes through, like, character-specific episodes for our Shuffle Alliance friends. So first you get a couple, and it's like they're fighting these special evil Gundams that, like, help out the Dark Gundam, I guess. There's not a lot that's introduced about them, but...
Yeah, there's, like, a couple episodes of that, which I don't even know if it's worth mentioning at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that that's going to take more of a front seat in the next block, but there are some spooky evil Gundams out there.
And those episodes are all right, but this episode, this block kind of really shines with Alan B's introduction, I would say. And, like, she's an interesting character. She's a good foil to Domon, or not even a foil. She's more of a...
Yeah, she's a good, like, kind of sidekick slash supporting character for Domon, I guess. I'm not sure what the right word is. Her and Domon have good chemistry. That's basically what it is.
And she's also, like, completely as strong as he is, which is nice, you know? It's not just, like, some side female character who's like, I can fight too, and she ends up sucking in every battle, which happens sometimes in anime.
Yeah, and they train together and stuff. Yeah, like, she's pretty competent at fighting.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly.
I thought her introduction was cool, and she's, like, just kind of fun. Adds a fun element to the plot where, like, I don't know, just, like, getting awkward situations with her and Rain gets pissed off. It's overall, like, the show, like, God, just thinking about that fucking episode with Chivity, like, it really doesn't get any better than that. Like, that is so quintessential.
Like, well, the thing about that episode too is, like, that is one of the things about G Gundam that can be really uncomfortable sometimes, which is their, like, extremely broad stereotyping of nationalities.
Yeah.
Like, actually working and not feeling insulting. Like, or, you know, like, insulting or, like, kind of weird to watch. Like,
right.
You know, there is a big difference between the American fighter being such a goddamn American that he has to be inspired by a song about America and, like, I don't know, Neo-Mexico space colony being a giant sombrero in space.
Right.
Like,
I forgot to mention Neo-France's space colony from my nadir.
Oh, yes.
Which is or it's not their space colony, it's like their home base or their, like, embassy.
Oh, God, right. No, yeah, they're
a,
like, hangar.
Snail. It's a snail, but with the French flag colors.
Yeah, that, like, that's kind of funny, too, because it's so stupid, but I don't know. Like, I think that is one of the main things about that episode that really makes it enjoyable is just that it's like what they were probably trying to do with most of the other, like, nations involved, but didn't really do very well.
I like that they got all characters in one place in a way that seems a little more natural than, like, the Guiana Highlands stuff.
Yeah, right. Like, and they're...
Oh, they all happen to go to the same exact spot in this giant expanse of rainforest.
Yeah, they all happen to be just over the hill from each other.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. And it's fun to have them, like, hanging out in the city, too. You know, there's, like, more opportunities for stuff to happen there. For example, when Alan B's introduced, she is, like, fighting in this video arcade. She's, like, playing some weird VR fighting game.
Yeah.
And then Domon fights her in it, etc. I think you're right. This is my favorite block of the show yet, by a decent amount, honestly. I think that's partly because there are two arcs. Like, it doesn't feel like it's slowing down at any point.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't, like, have the Sailor Moon S problem where it just drags an arc out for so long and drags out all these dumb reveals.
Well, and even, like, the last two blocks of this show, I felt like some of the arcs went a little longer than I wanted them to, and I didn't feel that way this time. Yeah, I really like this Black, and I like Alan B being introduced too. I was under the impression that she was in the show more or less from the beginning, like the Shuffle Alliances.
Oh, yeah.
This is mostly because of a thing that I've talked about way, way back when we were talking about Gundam Wing, but Koichi Tokita's Gundam Wing manga books have in the back the Go For It Domon, like, mini comics about the characters, and Alan B is definitely one of the characters in that. So I thought she was a little more important in the first half of the series, and just from that, like, I kind of liked her character. I will say that
she's got fun chemistry, and I think it so much so that, like, introducing her this late in the show, it still just works, and it's I could see why they would represent her in a way that just makes it seem like she should have been there from the beginning.
There's one scene where she and Sai Saishi, while they're eating together, like, sort of goad each other into fighting.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. Now, I will say there's one thing I really don't like about Alan B, which is that she kind of, to me, looks like a Disney, you know, theme park suitable Sonic the Hedgehog cosplay. Like,
okay.
I don't know. She wears these big gloves, and, like, every time I see her hands, I'm just like, God damn it, she's a Sonic character. Like, I can't stop thinking that every time I see her hands, which is pretty frequent. But I don't know, like, you know, when you can't cosplay too much, because then you might be mistaken for a character, so you just kind of wear the colors of the character, and, like, you know, she has blue hair and wears all blue, and then has bare arms with these big gloves. Like, I feel like that is pretty much what you would do if you were trying to do a low-key Sonic cosplay.
Yeah, it's like Disney edging. I don't remember what it's actually called, but just call it that.
Yeah, right. The low-key cosplay stuff. So yeah. I think that's slightly annoying, just because it reminds me of Sonic every time, but, you know,
that's
whatever.
Only a plus for me. Meow.
Ah, fuck off.
I can't wait.
So, yeah, and, like, I don't know. The fact that Domon has to fight everyone and beat them before they join him is such a stupid thing that makes so much sense in the world of this show.
Yeah, right.
And also, again, this Block has Fun Psyche, like, piloting in a boat, who is, again, a horse. So good.
But yeah, speaking of which, I think Alan B probably should have been there from the beginning. I feel like she should be a Shuffle Alliance character.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just because,
like,
of her chemistry, like, from early on, maybe, but I don't know.
I think another thing that always sort of, you know, made me expect that Alan B was more of a central character from the start is just that the Nobel Gundam is such an iconic design to me.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's instantly recognizable in a way that even, like, some of the other main Gundams aren't. I mean, yeah,
but
they are.
It's iconic because it's Sailor Moon.
Well, like, yeah, sure.
Like, if she was a main character, she wouldn't have a Sailor Moon Gundam, I don't think.
Yeah, probably not. But I don't know, like Nobel Gundam, to me, is one of the Gundams from this show that you can instantly be like, oh, that's from G Gundam. That doesn't look completely ridiculous. I mean, it does look completely ridiculous, but
it's pretty weird.
I don't know. Like, I have a soft spot for that design for some reason. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move on to our bet. Good God, Rain says Domon so much. I lost this bet. I said it'd be only 6 times. She said it, I believe, over 12.
probably, yeah.
And this isn't her saying Domon in a sentence. It's just her saying
just
Domon.
Yeah.
Or Domon.
There's one great moment where we get a split screen. We get a split screen of Alan B and Rain both saying Domon at the same time, which is awesome.
Really rubbing it in my face. There's one episode where it happened 5 times in a row, and that's when it went over. Oh, God.
Right. So for our next bet, which will be a tiebreaker, this is pretty silly, but Prime Minister Wong has, like, a kind of character tick where he pushes up his, like, sunglasses. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I think that might be kind of fun to count. Yeah, like, I have no idea how many times he does it, yeah, or even how far he makes it into this next block.
Yeah, I really don't know. This Xbox is a bit shorter, too, so...
Yeah, right. And, like, I know that technically he's not actually the big bad of the series either, so, like, yeah, he might be gone pretty soon. But, I don't know. I'm going to say, like, 5 times.
Shit. I was going to say 6. We'll go for 7.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm honestly just looking forward to the moments where we'll be sitting there watching it and his hand will go up to his face. We'll be like, whoa, yeah, and then he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
He also enjoys Pocky, incidentally. Wong is a great character.
Yeah, there's one shot where he's just relaxing in a bathrobe on his on his bed, and it's like blink and you'll miss you notice
he's not even
like,
on his bed. He's like on the floor leaning against an armchair, and there's a fucking stuffed bear in the armchair.
There's like two stuffed animals, a giant stuffed bear, and it's like wait a minute, what? Like it's kind of blink and you'll miss it, and it's like, oh, that's an interesting character detail.
Yeah, like sure, why not? I guess he has a couple stuffed animals. Whatever, like no judgment.
What are we watching next?
Yeah, so next we're going to continue our theme of what just watching shit by Imagawa, because generally it's pretty enjoyable.
Sure.
I think we're going to watch Tetsujin 28, Morning Moon of Midday, which is a movie. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the title, but it's a movie based on Tetsujin 28 Go, Gigantor in the States, which is another like classic giant robot. I mean, the classic giant robot anime created by Mitsutero Yokoyama, who you might remember as the creator of Giant Robo. So,
man,
you know,
fucking Imagawa loves making little homages, huh?
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. Like,
yeah,
you know, he's paying tribute to the roots of the genre. I mean, even with this show, very clearly, it's just like, yep, this is a super robot show. Like,
we
are paying tribute to Mazinger, basically, which is pretty enjoyable. So we'll be watching that next week. The week after that, we will be finishing off G Gundam, presumably with a burning, erupting finger or whatever Doman's other ultimate attack is
that
in the show.
Name sounds really weird when you say it out of the context.
Yes,
of the
it
show.
Does. Until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to check in next week for Tetsujin 28, Morning Moon of Midday. That title.
Fucking what the fuck is that title?
Thanks for listening. Follow us over at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter at HBpod, where we post all of our episodes as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. This is also a great way to get in contact with us. Of course, subscribing on iTunes is another surefire way to stay up to date, and while you're there, consider leaving us a review. See you next week for Tetsujin 28, Morning Moon of Midday, the title that just rolls off the tongue.